Hey, how are you doing? Are you struggling to relax and switch off from the hyperactivity of everyday life? Then take a quick dip with me, Suzanne Duckett, health and beauty journalist and author of my new book, Bathe, as we rediscover the oldest art of relaxation. While my guests bear all and share their helpful strategies for overcoming modern physical and mental challenges to help us chase away the blues. And we promise you won't be left behind. In this show, you will experience each treatment side by side with us as we share the benefits, secrets, and sounds of bathing in various forms, gasping, squealing, and laughing along the way. So this week, I'm joined by Louise Parker of the Louise Parker Method. Now, a Louise Parker Method is available at clinics all over the UK, including Harrods in London and other fitness studios, and also remotely on Zoom and FaceTime. And Louise is known for her very holistic approach to health and wellness, basically. And she's also known, may I add, although I'm not allowed to talk to her about this, about being in charge of the bodies of people like, you know, the Duchess of Cambridge, for example, lots of famous bodies around the world. So I'm going to bring her for a hammam today, and we are going to get splashed with lots of water. We're going to lie side by side on a heated marble plinth at what's supposed to be the best hammam in the city, and we're going to be scrubbed to within an inch of our lives. Then I'm going to, when she's all relaxed and open, I'm going to chat to her about her no diet diet that she's famous for, how she can still drink a bit of wine with her health regime, and how we can look after ourselves to the best of our ability.
That's great. It's super hot, and I love hot water. That is proper hot. It's wonderful.
I love baths. I have a bath every evening. I love the ritual of it. I mean, my method I devised for people like me, people who didn't want to be spending hours needlessly working out, it was about taking a simple route, a direct route. It's about doing the minimum amount you can get away with to be functionally fit and healthy. And
you've not always been in your best shape, have you?
No, I was always chubby. But I started dieting at 14 at a really young age, which is obviously why I'm so anti-dieting. Mm. I was on a diet for 10 years constantly. I didn't have an enormous amount to lose, but I don't think it's really about that. It was always a couple of dress sizes. I mean, the most important thing that we do is what we do every day. And it's not what people talk about. All people talk about is, hi, what do you do for a living? Mm. Hi, how big is your house? Hi, how many Birkins have you got? It's crap, we've got one body. Like, it's just no joke. Mm. And when you hit your 40s, I'm like, right, okay, and it's gonna be hopefully in really good health for another 40 years. How do I want that to be?
So I'm arriving at the Four Seasons Hotel, London, at 10 Trinity Square. Got the Tower of London behind me. And, thank you very much. Very dishy doorman, I have to just mention, has just opened the door. Thank you again.
Pleasure.
I think he heard me, never mind. Oh wow, look at this, red velvet. Beautiful. Oh, there's upside down amazing flowers. Always love a hotel floral display. Huge room, foyer, big ceilings. Yeah, red velvet curtains. It's a bit like the Wizard of Oz, the curtains on the Wizard of Oz when Dorothy goes by and sees the wizard. I wonder if there's any spa wizards that's going to beat us here. So come into the, it's like a lounge with a big dome ceiling. Fairly smart people drinking teas and lots of silver coffee pots. And I think we're going down here, yep, into the lift. Just passing other guests now. Let's get into the lift here. We're going down as usual into the lower floors. We're going into the lower ground to the spa. Wow, gold walls, gold swirly gold walls, fabulous. And a very stunning reception desk that looks like it's a bit of a UFO that could take off at any moment now. Hello there, we're here for the hammam. Hi,
hello.
Where are you hiding? Hello, in the little relaxation cave. How are you?
I'm good, I'm really comfy. Hi, good morning.
Hi. So lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you.
Welcome.
As I arrived and turned left, which one really likes to do, it was like, yay, I've been upgraded to first class.
It does feel like
I could spend a weekend here on my own.
I know.
I could. even the cell phone doesn't work.
Yeah, there are sleep hotels, though. I mean, we've got to that stage of life that we're all so busy and frazzled that people are booking into hotels just to sleep.
Don't want a room, just give me a pod like this. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, a sleep pod. Well, I'm afraid you can't sleep just yet. Okay. Maybe after the treatment. Yeah. So I did consider last night doing a full, like, exfoliation, fake tan, shaving legs, so that I looked Louise Parker perfect.
I didn't.
And I thought, if I make more effort for a lady that I barely know than my husband, that is quite wrong.
Yeah, no, please don't.
So I didn't.
I've got leopard print, fake tan marks down my legs. So
not after but this
the treatment, yeah, the lady says we won't after this.
It practically take you down a dress size of dead skin cells being removed.
You're asking people to get into their swimwear in February, I'm afraid you get splodgy fake tan.
Have you done the paper? Are you in your bikini?
I have, because she said don't wear a one piece because they'll want full access to you.
Okay, well, I've got paper pants and bras on.
Okay.
So just to let you know, it looks really attractive, but I'm going to wrap myself in this very nice hammam towel to protect my dignity.
Oh, that's great. We've got to speak. We've got to talk.
Have you not got one of those?
I do, but I've been in my first class seat.
Okay, well, let's drag you away and let's go now. Do you know what you're having, Louise? Do you know what it involves?
Absolutely no.
Okay, steam and scrubbing and lying on a very warm marble table, but it's not your soft massage bed, it's a hard marble plinth, like the proper hammam. So
okay, I'm happy with that. As long as it's warm, I was just having a discussion about how much I didn't actually like, I was thinking on my way here this morning, I don't actually like many forms of water. I like swimming in the sea, and I love having I love bathing, I'm passionate about bathing, so, you know, obviously I think your book, Bathe, is amazing. But actually, I was thinking, don't like showers, don't like getting my hair wet.
We are walking into what all I can say is it's a mosaic, circular, little temple is what it feels like, a little temple. In front of us, there's a huge marble slab. It's round. This room is round. The ceiling's got a dome effect with little pink and red and purple lights. Marble everywhere. I feel like I'm in Istanbul, perhaps, or, Turkey. It's very, very authentic. It's the real deal. There's buckets of cold water. Do I tell Louise that I can see buckets of cold water? Okay.
Well, it looks very beautiful. It's a sort of Carrara marble cave, but it has a massive panic alarm sign as we're going in on the left.
I spotted it already.
I don't love being, it's going to sound weird, I don't like being splashed or like wet by other people. I get quite angry when people splash me in the pool.
Good.
So we have quite a serious code of conduct in our family that no one's allowed to splash me.
If you go swimming on holiday, there's no splashing in the pool.
Yeah.
Do you even get in the pool?
I do, but on maybe over a 2-week holiday I might get in twice.
Really?
If we're by the sea, are we in the sea the whole time? If it's shallow, I had an accident in some water when I was 25, so goodness, nearly 20 years ago. But it was in the sea in England at Easter time, so it was freezing, and I was in this channel, and me and some friends about 11 o'clock at night, fell into the water and went under a ferry.
Oh,
so
no.
Essentially had a sort of near drowning accident. Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, we were in the papers for surviving it the next day. I mean, we were just kids, and I think went back out to this Mudderford Spit the next day, did the same thing.
Terrifying. So that scarred you a bit, understandably.
I just don't like being underwater or cold, but it's very warm in here.
Well, hopefully this is, going to be very relaxing, and that you're not going to get angry by getting splashed. But the secret with these spa treatments, and this is what so many people don't do, if you don't like something, tell them.
Yeah,
absolutely. We are, especially the Brits, repressed about, saying, well, that tension's too hard on that massage, or your tension's not enough, your pressure, I need more pressure, or I don't like the music, I'm a bit chilly. We'd lie there kind of going, I just can't say anything. So this is, I think, what I love about spa. It also helps you express what you do want, what you don't want.
Yeah.
And I think that helps us in other areas of life, right?
What are your favourite spa things that you do regularly?
I just love hot and cold contrast. So I love this kind of thing where you get very hot and sweaty and, purified, and then splash with the cold water. And actually this morning, confession, It's just been quite tired, so I had a really hot bath with some really revitalising oils and then had a cold shower, back in the hot bath, cold shower, and I just felt the writer's rain afterwards. Wow. So I will do that
you
hot and cold.
Committed.
I am, because I just love what it does to the mind as well as the body, Louise.
Amazing.
You know?
So how did you get... I mean, I'm pretty committed to, you know, my bathing, but how did you get so committed? Like, it's another level.
I just think because I've tried so many things with work, some things I wouldn't normally have tried, to be fair, so I've had that exposure, and then enjoying the results, enjoying the benefits. It's like anything, it's like
it
you with,
really,
you know, exercise.
Therapy, but there's
once
so
you know
many,
how good you feel from doing it, it's become something you can't not do.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it's, you know, it's easy. You know, it's easy when you know how, but a quick 10-minute bath, you know, helping get things ready, the bath was running, hot, really hot. I was just in the bath for 5 minutes, back, spritz with the cold water in the shower, back in a hot bath. It was a 15-minute routine. It's not, and if that makes me more productive for the rest of the morning, it's worth that 15-minute investment.
Absolutely. Hello, Frankie.
Hi,
so you're a hamamas, are you?
Yes.
What are you called, practitioners that do hamams?
It doesn't actually have a specific term, to be honest. I mean, a lot of spa therapists. No, nothing like that. But no, a lot of spa therapists, they can train in doing body scrubs, but there's no particular name for it. So
what are you going to do to us today?
So today, in our Turkish-style hammam, so you're correct, actually. It's a Turkish-style hammam, as you can tell, obviously, by the mosaic and everything. And we'll be using Moroccan-style products. So we're going to do start with a black soap scrub, which I'll actually show you.
Oh, everybody's talking about this black soap scrub. I've actually not used it yet, so that's amazing.
Okay. So we have a black soap made from olive oil pit, and this is actually an enzyme soap. So if I pop a little bit in the back of your hand,
you can smell. I saw loads of this in Marrakesh last May, and I meant to buy some and didn't.
Yes. It's great for enzyme washing, so it just breaks down all the pollution and dead skin and dirt on the top of the skin. It'll also be better for the Kesa gloves to actually lift off the skin for the exfoliation part of the treatment as well. So.
There's exfoliating, isn't there? And would you say this part of the world that does this treatment are the best exfoliators, would you say?
Most definitely, without a doubt. I've done loads of different body scrubs. I could have had two body scrubs in a week, but hammam, because of the specific glove that we're going to be using, the way it lifts off the skin, you will still have skin shedding off even after doing body scrubs.
So. Rely on that warm marble slab to have that done, right?
Okay. Yeah. So we'll go afterwards with the Mel d'Ombre, which is our body exfoliation. It has royal jelly and royal honey in it, and also argan oil. It smells a bit like cookie dough.
If I was but living in, I don't know, Istanbul, would I do this once a week? Would that be...
A lot of people do go once a week. It was actually quite a communal activity for people to come together, men in one, women in another, and they would just meet up, catch up, talk about politics, what's going on in the world, and it was more of a social treatment.
Gossip, wouldn't they?
Oh,
I mean, the women
definitely
would really let... I was actually in Greece recently and had a hammam with women, and the whole point was to storytell and to chat, and you know, not like in the UK where it's all whispering quiet in saunas and steams, you know, it's really get it out the system.
It's very laid back, very laid back environment, definitely, most definitely. And then we finish with Infusion d'Orange, which is our body wash.
Oh,
so this is a silky body wash, which we do actually a little massage body wash with.
Oh, is this Moroccan, did you say?
This is Moroccan product,
right? Okay.
Yes, yeah. And
then, this is the soap.
Yes, this is the soap we'll be finishing with, just so you smell obviously nice. It penetrates into the skin, and you'll have a lovely aroma afterwards. And just in here, we have the Kesa glove. So this is the main part of the exfoliation. So this is what really lifts off the dead skin. And you can tell by the texture of the glove.
These gloves are the sort of thing I always, you know, swear that I'm going to have at home and start doing on a regular basis. Do you do this? Use these exfoliating gloves. These have got a lovely natural feel to them. The others always look nylon and nasty, but that looks lovely.
Also, if you do that and then you put on the body lotion goes much, you know, it goes much deeper the skin, so I love it.
Yes, it does. So obviously, as I said, the black soap is really what gives it a clean canvas to go on, and then it creates that grip, and the Kesa glove lifts everything up.
It really is a ritual, isn't it? The only thing is, I need to ask you something. There's buckets of water over there.
Yes.
What happens with those buckets of water?
So
how much splashing is involved? Can you turn up the dial on that and down?
No. We'll obviously make sure we're comfortable with the temperature and everything beforehand. But what we do is, in traditional hammam style, obviously we wash all the products, with hot buckets of water off the body, and we'll be finishing with a cold rinse as well. So that's really just to promote your circulation. And yes, that's optional. I do recommend personally, it's great for your energy.
If she doesn't want the cold rinse, you can throw it.
Super chilled and relaxed, I mean, we'll take you to the relaxation area afterwards, which you can just completely lay back and relax. So if you didn't want to have that pump of energy,
She gets angry if she gets splashed with cold water.
I'm just
hanging out there because, you know, just
only
saying.
If I've agreed with that person that it's not fun to be splashed, and then they violate that for fun, and they get angry.
Good
luck with the challenge today.
I hope you enjoy. I really hope you enjoy. Okay.
Hair's up in my silk scrunchie, which are all the rage at the moment. And I'm on a podcast talking about well-being. So we are totally on trend for the moment, aren't we?
All the boxes.
You're going to... brace yourself. See, this is quite hardcore sparring, as far as I'm concerned. I'm normally more sort of like a laser or injectable type of stuff. What's the hardest core thing you've done?
I've got in a cryotherapy chamber in Austria.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Good. That's lovely.
What else have I done that's extreme? So the cryotherapy, not in a proper, really, really full-on cryotherapy chamber. Yeah, getting out of the sauna and getting into the Baltic. That's quite extreme.
That's quite full-on.
I've meditated in the Indian Ocean at the bottom of the ocean. Scuba diving. Scuba meditation.
Wow. Like you do.
But sort of, I've had that kind of Chinese suction where they get the suction cups, which are really painful, but they're on a machine and it sort of squeezes your flesh into these cups and releases and squeezes and releases.
It works on your lymphatic drainage.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to suffer a little bit.
Yeah, you do. I lived in Hong Kong for a bit. They take their massage and cupping and weekend sort of female rituals really seriously. I used to go to this great massage place called, what was it called? Like Lucky Surprise, like it just sounded so dodgy. And it was in the red light district, but it's where everyone went for legit massage at the weekend if you weren't going into a sort of, you know, a 5-star hotel. And they would have almost these sort of Hello Kitty lounges and Marlboro lights and carrot juice. Everyone would be smoking and watching TV. It was hilarious. We're only going back 15 years. And then you'd all go and have your massages and be walked on, and we'd do that after sort of going clubbing or going out for dinner. Everyone would go and meet and then get home at about 2 a.m. It's quite strange. Yeah, it's just sort of what everyone did. It's weird that we don't have more spas that are just like social hangouts.
I think it's coming. You remember the guy that, you know, Yo Sushi, the guy that set up Yo Sushi? We talked about 15 years ago. He wanted to do in Soho a kind of Roman baths where you put a bit clubby.
Where
you could go and in your, you know, swimwear and just sit and get in the water, get out the water, have a cocktail, have a smoothie. But it was a bit before its time. I don't think we were quite ready for it. But I think
could quickly sort of turn into a Nikki Beach situation.
Well, exactly.
But you almost want a Soho House situation, somewhere in the middle where you can I haven't booked anything because I don't think it's even looking glamorous. I call it not looking rough. I think the actual task, because it is a task, it is for me, it's a 43-year-old woman, the task of like not looking rough these days and being ready for the gram and ready for a photo shoot and ready to see clients, and you know, there's a lot of pressure on everybody. There's just a lot that needs doing. Like, apparently you've got to microblade your eyebrows now. I mean, I'm not doing that yet, but you know, the list is endless.
See, I slightly and sometimes out, as you can tell.
Yeah, but we forget to actually pamper, to do stuff just because it feels nice.
Yes, exactly.
Although, you know, there's a body benefit to this.
But to me, the mental benefit has always trumped the... To me, the beauty side is a bonus. I do it for the mind and the body. The feel good.
It forces you to press the stop button, doesn't it?
I'm trying to think of what are the real spa photos
I've heard of. The stone that we're lying on now, it's pretty warm, actually.
Do you know what's on that?
It's amazing room, but I want a warm one.
Is it the last? Because it's proper lying on marble. If I was here with my husband now,
fabric really bugged me. I'd much rather do this with a girlfriend. Oh, that's nice. Oh, lovely. Oh, yay. That's
so the woman that has like buckets of water thrown over her is
really
currently
lovely.
Having buckets of water thrown over her. Just don't splash the face or the hair.
No. Okay.
You see me, I don't care. You can wet my head, everything. I'm just so used to it.
Oh, that's heavenly. Gosh, that's amazing. Thank you. How many of these hammers would you do in a day, maximum?
I'm trying to keep it one to maximum.
Because that must be pretty tough on the body, lifting all those buckets. This is very luxurious, I have to say.
Oh.
Very nice. So do you use this at home, the black soap?
When I've got it, yeah. I just, you know, it's the sort of thing, if I run out of something else comes along that I end up trying. But it is one of those things that after a couple of months, I'll try and get hold of one. Just because it's so effective.
There are so many amazing products coming out all the time. But not even new products. Nowadays, I find it's like my friends bringing out amazing new products. So I'm forever trying new things.
Yeah.
And then there's a few things that I always go back to. What are your favourite? What are your desert island bath items?
Pressure, okay.
The essential oils. So whether it's chow gel, the bath oil, the face oil, I've got to have essential oils.
Yeah.
Smell is so, the aroma quality is very important to me. I have to have that.
Yeah.
I do like more natural products. I love, you know, I buy 25 kilo sacks of salts for my bath.
Of
Epsom salts.
Yeah.
I buy a bucket of Marge powder from a friend who distributes Marge. And then I just put a bit of water. I'll either throw the mud in the bath or I'll put a little face mask on. I like quite Scandi Spartan. I'm not a kind of fancy packaging, fancy marketing. That's why I love the black soap. That's why I'm loving this. It's really authentic. It's really natural. I don't want to pay for swanky department store stuff, to be honest. I've done it 25 years in magazines, getting sent everything under the sun.
Yeah.
What would I buy? Not very much, really, honestly. I'd much rather have a fantastic facial, spend my money on that. With really great facial massage.
The massage, yeah.
Yeah, I do lots of massage on my own, around my jaw at home. What else do I love? Body brush, but these aren't products, these are accessories.
But that's good, to know. And do you body brush regularly?
Yeah, two or three times a week. Again, especially if I'm tired.
It's one of those things I'll stop doing, and I'll stop doing for ages, it's really not great. Because it's one of those things.
Habit.
It's just a habit, isn't it? But I used to look at it and not be scared of it. And I think when you stop doing it, you just get a bit handsy-pansy about
it. Yeah, and I do cold showers. As I said, most mornings I do a cold rinse after a shower, even if I just have a shower in the morning, because, again, for me, it's all this keeping the system stimulated and exfoliated and scrubbed. And it's lovely lying down having it done, but there's something about it when it flows over the whole body.
Yeah.
It's just divine.
I'm feeling quite a
and you've got wet hair,
dream,
and you're not angry. It's really good.
Yeah, my hair got wet, but that's fine.
My skin feels so soft.
Yeah, I feel very, very silky and very soothing.
Really?
Actually, I've actually just declined the...
You're not having
the cold one. Oh, God, what a win. But I want to just keep this feeling of having.
That's intense.
Is it cold? Are you tricking me?
There's one warm, don't worry.
Is there a cold one there? Okay. I would
just
get angry.
I was just going to splash
you
with my cold. I was just going to do that.
I would get cross. Oh, that's wonderful. No, that's fine. That's great. Yeah. That's great. It's super hot, and I love hot water. That is proper hot. It's wonderful. Oh, I'd like this every morning. If I could have this every morning, please. It would just be fantastic.
And then not have to... One more?
Cold rinse coming up. See?
This would be the ultimate luxury. Start your day like this. And then, do you know what else I think would be an amazing luxury? To have a driver.
What, a driver?
A driver.
Oh,
keeping it real
driver.
Now. This is the part of the podcast.
Here goes
the
favourite.
Keeping it real with Louise.
Okay. Right, you just look and learn, Louise Parker.
Okay. Let's see how
this is wellness commitment.
And breathe out.
Oh! Ooh.
Oh, you see now, yeah, because look, now, okay, the aftermath is a bit of a rush, like a euphoric rush. And I think it's worth feeling cold and to get that.
And breathe out.
Helpful. That's colder. Oh, wow, that's colder. Frankie, that was even colder. Oh, you're good. You're good. And it is not chicken chop suey, because my father did say, you'd better go check that that does really say what you wanted to say. Yes, I went to the Chinese community centre so that they could write it for me, so I didn't trust the tattooist to just, you know, have the last laugh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't
want
that. No. Oh, that was absolutely wonderful. What a way to start a Friday at the beginning of November, February in London.
What day then?
It's wonderful. I'm just having
massage
whilst being dried. Warm white towels. It's wonderful. Wow.
Those shoulders, those little nuggets have got their own names now. It's pinky and perky.
You need
yeah.
another
yeah.
1 hour massage.
Yeah. But a bit recharged, so now we have to move slowly, yeah, and get the really let the benefits sort of absorb and process. It's a bit like, you know, when people exercise and don't stretch, does that bug you when they don't stretch after exercise? Such a big part of it, don't you think?
It is, yeah, it is massively, and it's just a big part of just the living, just moving, just the part of, I don't know, just every day. It's just moving, staying mobile every day. I think it's when we...
I'm just going to give you guys some extra at all. You just use the water, you have the buckets if you wanted to use those as well.
Thank you so much.
No, you're very, very welcome.
And you work so well. Absolutely drenched as well.
Great.
Wonderful. Take your time and I'll be outside whenever you're ready, okay?
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, if anyone's going to book this treatment after this podcast, listening to it, they need Frankie, don't they? Mm-hmm. That was so good.
And she did both of us as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be really hard work.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, great. So I just have to apologise if I sound a bit dopey.
No, dopey's good because it means it's worked.
Yeah, I feel very warm and very relaxed.
And what was your favourite bit?
Actually, I think it was surprisingly, it was the hot water at the end, and I just didn't think any splashing of water at whatever temperature would please me, but this did. It was really hot and lovely, because I just find in the winter, I know we all get a cold, but I'm forever saying to my husband, I'm sure I get colder than anyone else. I have like competitive getting cold in the winter syndrome. It's like one up on us.
You know that when you're
feeling. No, I don't. But I feel like I get some lack of sensation in my limbs. So, 1 minute I'm like, oh, it's just.
Is this because
the weather?
Is this because you grew up in Africa in the warm?
Perhaps,
do you think it's that?
Yeah, perhaps. But I get cold to my bone. You know, actually to your bone. Whereas this treatment warms you to the bone, doesn't
it? That's why, and we were talking about, that's why you love a hot bath, presumably. If I'm cold and I get in the bath for 15 minutes, you're warmed through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get dressed and you're done, and I love that.
And that's ultimately, I love baths. I have a bath every evening. I love the ritual of it, but actually, it's probably what I do after the bath that I love more. It's that feeling afterwards.
Mm.
It's a bit like the work exercise. I don't particularly enjoy the workouts at all. It's
Did
just
you
it's
not?
It's just chasing that. I mean, my method I devised for, you know, people like me, people who didn't
want to be spending hours needlessly working out. It was about taking, you know, a simple route, a direct route. So it's about doing the minimum amount you can get away with
yeah.
to be functionally fit and healthy and obviously feeling good about yourself too from a physical sense. But it's I've lost my train of thought. That's how
quiet what happens. That's what happens on this podcast. Don't worry, it happens to the best of them.
Does it? So just lost my thought.
Because I think actually my husband's once said, you know, you never regret doing an exercise class or a workout or that run, but you do regret an hour later when you think, I wish I've missed my class or I didn't do it. You know, there's that slight regret, isn't there?
Yeah,
so
and
it's
I've
interesting
also
for you
done,
to say you don't like working out. That makes
I've regretted sessions as well where I've not been completely over a cold and I've made myself exercise. I'm a firm believer in absolutely 100% resting until your body's kind of telling you to exercise, and you know, obviously don't wait for it to come and shout at you, because if you're not in a regular routine, it's not going to happen. But once you get the regular routine going, you'll get these sort of these little urges, like to
will you to, I hope, to, I'm looking forward to that to,
yeah but I mean it's not like mad passion, don't get wild, you know, too overexcited, but you just sort of you'll feel a need, a desire to sort of do it more. But I do believe we're, and you know, scientists have found this to be true, that we are really, they've studied the brain and the way that we feel after workout and what we associate that with. So for me, it's always that, I've always got a feeling of that sense of how I'm going to feel at the end of a day or at the end of a morning or at the end of an evening. And you can turn your mood around by doing 30 minutes of you know, really simple exercise with your body, and you can do it at home, and then you can spend 30 minutes having a quick bath, and within that hour, you know, you can tone, strengthen, do all the things that we know are to be good for us, and to have had a bath and, you know, a bit of a relax and revive. And
so
I
it's
think
the aftermath. Essentially what you're chasing is that feel-good factor. And do you think with exercise now, people they want the feel good as opposed to the look good?
Well, I think everyone wants it all now. So it's like, well, I want the pregnancy fertility package with no cellulite, with minimum effort and maximum results.
Oh my goodness. And do people really ask you for that?
Yeah, but I mean, we do that. It's what we do, is we look after all sorts of really different people. The approach of what we do is, it's methodized, it's a system. So there's a standard, a certain way of doing things. So if you and your second cousin were to do the program, and you know, we were to film you both, there'd be distinct similarities in what you're doing, but it's totally adjusted to the individual based on any medical conditions, time of their life. So we have lots of people, someone might be coming to us to lose weight for the first time after 30 years of yo-yo dieting, or somebody who's suddenly put on a lot of weight, they've never had to deal with it before, or somebody's about to have, they've been classed diabetic, they're pre-diabetic, or I mean all sorts. And you know, what we know to be sort of factually correct is that if they put their focus on changing their lifestyle to one that they actually enjoy, and take their focus off getting a result every week, that over time, and you know, our most popular program now, and we started with a 6-week program as our annual program, and we support clients for a whole year.
Oh, right.
So they'll get their sort of their results still up front in 3 or 6 months, mm-hmm. whatever.
So you take the goal part away, you soften that part?
Yeah.
So it's not as much pressure?
Focus on how do you want your pretend lifestyle, almost like we were talking about in the Hamam, like, how do you want your life to be? How do you want it to look like? Because, I mean, I'll sit down, and my team do too, with lots of primarily women, but some men too. We're about 70% female. And often there'll be women who are running really complicated households and homes, or complicated financial houses, or complicated companies. You know, these are women that are operating at a really high level. So they're doing everything in their life to enhance where they spend their time, how they spend their time, so that they're performing well. So I think we've seen a lot more women coming to us for performance, not just because they couldn't be 10 pounds 10 kilos overweight in a boardroom, which, you know, I got a lot of that when I was first starting out 20 years ago. But now quite often it's like, it'll be, you know, it's not always about weight loss. It's just, it's women wanting to perform, to operate at their absolute best.
Gosh, it sounds a bit masculine in a way, doesn't it? You know, I hate to say that, yeah. But it sounds like that's how men have always been, you know, mental about I'm going training, or it's not I'm popping to the gym, or I'm going to do a class. It's always been about being this sort of slight,
yeah,
superhuman.
It's interesting.
Women are now taking that on.
Well, I think in the 60s and 70s, there was, you know, the male exec was very new. So I've got images in my head of anything from a madman, men type persona up to, you know, early 80s men, you know, Wall Street jocks, basically. And what we used to call the sort of, what are they called? I've lost the train of thought.
Stockbrokers,
stock London stockbrokers.
Yeah.
And then you look at the 80s and 90s, and there was iconic films like Working Girl, and, you know, the rise of women in business now. It's extraordinary. It's gone, you know, I think it's nearly gone full circle.
So there is this link between being physically fit and feeling powerful.
They're inseparably, they'll be forever linked.
Yes.
Because it's a behaviour that causes, so when people are talking about weight loss or weight gain, essentially what we're after is stable habits.
Yes.
So a client will come to us saying, I want weight loss, and then I want to behave like this. The whole time, all we do is we establish stable habits. Mm. And if we do that, then we don't have to worry about getting somebody to a result or keeping them there, because actually just focus on changing the habit. And then as a result of that, behaviours are changed.
And is that because you were saying, because of the repetition?
Will lose weight.
If you do something a number of times, the brain then realises, okay, I'm doing this and I will keep doing it.
Correct.
How many times do you have to repeat it, would you say, before you're then in that?
It's difficult. Studies, I mean, there's various studies on this. One of the latest says it's somewhere in the region of, I think, 225 times will help a habit over a year become absolutely ingrained in you.
So if you're exercising three or four months, you're
not necessarily. I mean, this was one study, and I don't know how many people it was done on. But essentially, when we look at our client base over a number of years, so really where we've had the most volume is really over the last 10 years, and we've collected data only recently, actually, only over the last 18 months or so. So we can analyse what happens to certain age groups and male, female, how it varies. One of the fascinating things is that the results don't deteriorate as our female clients go past 45. We actually find very, very little difference in results, which is extraordinary. Mm. But my main point is, we focus on changing, helping anybody change their habits, and that's through all sorts of ways, through motivational techniques, using neuro-linguistic programming.
Because you're a trainer,
meditation.
Aren't you? When people say, what does Louise do herself? You're a personal trainer, but that's how you got into
it. It's how I got into it. Yeah. I don't train anybody anymore.
No.
So I run the company full time now. But I started as a trainer and nutritional coach, and then my team, who do most of our programs, are led by, well, all of our programs that we coach globally are led by dieticians. Mm-hmm. So
what's the difference between a dietitian and nutritionist?
That's a good question. It's a really big difference. And I think it was really important for me to, it's been very important for me to, for the company to be solely dieticians. So I went into it as a trainer, and not having the sort of, there's all sorts of different levels that you can study to, basically, and I wanted us to be able to look after people with all sorts of contraindications. So and the type of clients that we will typically look after as well, we've got to make sure that we can look after somebody if they've got problematic medical conditions, basically.
So would you say it's a more medical knowledge base than it is straightforward nutritional
correct.
Therapy?
So a medical practice will only ever employ dietitians, and we only ever employ dietitians.
Okay.
So we report to a governing body, which is the BPA, and there's a certain amount of CPD, clinical practice and development, that we have to do as a company. So one of our dietitians have just come back from a course at Harvard studying lifestyle medicine, which is essentially what we're sort of practicing. I think what we're doing, it's always really hard to explain what we do, and I think that's where it's moving towards, is that in time it'll be called lifestyle medicine. But essentially the dietitians are, they're from a medical background, which is, it gives me a real sense of security. And also I know that there's not, because of the practice and the ethics of being a medical practice, we're not allowed to authorize anything that there's no clinical evidence for a client needing it. So if you don't need that vitamin, we can't hand on heart say you need to drink that.
Really? So
green
you're having
juice.
Lots of bloods and things done. You're doing lots
no,
of testing.
We
no?
don't actually even do that because okay. we don't see the point in it.
Really?
So if you clinically, ethically don't agree with something, that's the difference between doing it and not doing it.
Because it's so.
So I don't bind to that. So our practice doesn't do it. It'd make a shitload of money.
Yeah.
It'd make thousands every week.
Wow,
but we don't.
That's
do
interesting.
It. We used to
because
do it.
Because you can. That's also a bit like a. You're going. You can go on a lot of wild goose chases, can't you? Doing
yeah.
lots of bloods, and also we change.
We worked
them.
With, I think, one of the best labs, and for a couple of years we stopped doing blood testing. 4 years ago. Allergy testing at Louise Parker.
That's refreshing, actually.
So
to
we
hear.
Found, we found the whole thing to be, it wasn't clinically proven, and everybody was coming back allergic to absolutely everything, and we were having people who didn't have issues with anything saying this is coming up. So your body reacts quite often to, if I'd just eaten a whole load of black pepper and strawberries for some reason, it's very likely that those foods show up in your next result. So
so they're not conclusive enough really to base a program thereafter on. I mean, it's different, is it, if you're worried about, you know, obviously cholesterol, or, you know, someone's going for a health checkup, that's one thing. But what you're doing is helping people understand the importance of exercise, movement, diet, and lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you're looking at all of those aspects. So you've got the trainers, you've got the dietitians, and you've got, as you said, the mind thing, because so much of it, isn't it, is from the mind.
Yeah.
And
the dietitians,
are you finding that more now with people being more anxious and stressed? And
we have more people coming to us at the end of what I just would sort of loosely coin as adrenal fatigue. We're definitely seeing more of it. It was, you know, it's always been there. I think the style of business that we are, we're the sort of people that people would call in a time of, you know,
yeah,
burnout,
so
or crisis.
There's going to
so
be more
yeah, there's always been, but definitely it's almost, you know, I have a form with TATT on, which means tired all the time, and it's certainly a question that we ask everybody, and everybody would agree to it.
And how do you?
So I'd say TATT is an absolute,
yeah, absolutely.
Pandemic.
What do you do with those people, though, to get them? Because in a way, isn't it, it's that thing that when you're tired, you need to do
all
some exercise
it.
To make you have
yeah.
energy,
so
but
people
actually
are always,
it's the last thing you
yeah.
want to do.
Of course. And, you know, quite often people say to me, you know, what are the top three things? What are the top five things that I ought to be doing? Now, we know it's four things because there's four pillars to what we do. So there's four sort of layers to our system, if you like. But you've got to do all of them. They're all interconnected because one holds up the other, which in turn holds up the other, which allows you to do the fourth. So it's all interconnecting. And when you sort of, what I say is, you know, just pay your daily rent, or your daily rent to one service, whether that's a bit of, you know, self-care. And I think that doesn't mean you've got to take an hour out for your day to put a face mask on. That could be literally sitting for 5 minutes with your eyes shut, and obviously exercising efficiently, you know, eating beautifully, taking people back to the basics. Everyone's just so confused. And living well, which just means helping people manage their day so that there's order in there and they can redesign it to a day that they like. But when you've got somebody living a lifestyle which is punctuated by a whole load of daily practices that are practiced daily, they become habits. your body has a response to that. So it's gonna tone up, it's gonna get rid of any excess body fat. So that's fantastic, but that's just all a side effect of what we do.
Yeah, because
so it's the reason people come to us, but it is one of the side effects.
But it's funny, isn't it, Louise? Because obviously I know what you do, but I still think, oh, Louise is associated with the no diet diet, you know, stop yo-yo dieting and the weight loss effect.
Yeah.
But that's really a small part, isn't it? That is the effect of the lifestyle of taking better care of yourself. Does it, firstly, you are in amazing shape, and I think I mentioned earlier, I did nearly do a full body preparation before I came here today, but I thought doing a scrub and a like de-shaving my legs and putting on fake tan before I go and have a hammam would probably be weird.
I thought that too last night.
But you look great, but you've not always been in your best shape, have you?
No, I was always chubby. Or not always chubby, but I started dieting at 14 at a really young age, which is obviously why I'm so anti-dieting. Mm. I probably dieted, I gave it a good amount of time, just trying to work out the numbers. I was on a diet for 10 years constantly. And, you know, I didn't have an enormous amount to lose, but I don't think it's really about that. It was always a couple of dress sizes, you know, but it was gaining and losing the same few pounds. And I had sort of two calendars in my head. It was one calendar would be what's going on in life, and calendar two would be like, well, where I am on the, like, I'm too fat to go chart. So I lived in this sort of dual world of somebody saying, oh, well, it's great news, you're going to the Maldives in 2 weeks. And on the other hand, I was literally counting down how much weight I could lose in 14 days. Yeah, so it was a sort of addiction to on-off dieting.
And
I
looking
suppose.
Back, what was the basis of that?
I don't know. I think there are a lot of things that fed into it. I think I was overeating at boarding school, a need to feed myself, feeling
emotionally
alone. Yeah,
related,
probably. Yeah.
As most of it, let's face it. Well, not all of it is, because
yeah,
some people
but
just
equally, I'm
are bigger
at peace
than others,
with
right?
all of it. Yeah, I'm yeah. A, I've made peace with all of it. It's not something I've had to have. I personally haven't had to have, you know, therapy to work out any of those issues or anything, which doesn't really point to anything, really.
Well, it's the obvious lifestyle thing, is what you're saying. For you, it was just
really
changing things a bit,
yeah,
to make
but
quite
it's
a big
really
difference.
And it's really detrimental to live your life anyway, where you don't. I mean, the most important thing that we do is what we do every day, and it's not what people talk about. All people talk about is what you do. Hi, what do you do for a living? Mm. Hi, how big is your house? Hi, how many Birkins have you got? I mean, it's crap. We've got one body. Like, it's just no joke.
Mm.
And, you know, when you hit your 40s, I'm like, right, okay, and it's going to be hopefully in really good health for another 40 years. How do I want that to be?
Yeah.
Like, what, I mean, because it's to a certain extent, there's a lot of it that will be out of my control. Not fair that children get sick and mothers get cancer, and I'm not talking about any sort of horrendous situation like that, but if you take a healthy person who's not feeling great and you apply all the habits and all the things that we recommend, you just physically can't not do a total 360 lifestyle transformation.
Yeah.
Everything changes. Your outlook changes. Your mood changes.
And
you sleep better. You've started exercising. It's just what you do. You've chosen what you're going to do.
Good brings on more good, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because I do find that I'm still guilty of this, and I have to really make sure. In fact, not so much now, to be fair. Goodness me. I mean, after all these years of doing wellness, it would be awful if I was still doing this. But there have been times where I'm very stressed, very tired, I've been doing too much, I've taken on too much, I've said yes to too much, and I think, I'm just going to go drink some wine. I'm not going to go to that yoga class. And it's this weird sabotage thing. But luckily for me, with my work and my attitude, I don't do that very often. I will go to that yoga class, or I will go for that walk, or I'll have a bath, or I'll, go and see a friend, and I'll do something that's good for me. But there's so many people still out there that when you feel bad, you know what, I'm going to do some other bad things. You know, how do you work with just changing that attitude? just look, you could feel better or worse. I'd be lying if I said I'd had
a really snotty day that I wouldn't go home and open a bottle of wine. I probably would. But I mean, I think that the trick is to really try and reduce the amount of snotty days that you have. Mm. So is it your lifestyle that is snotty, that you're just not enjoying, that's making you come home every Tuesday, not just this Tuesday, but every Tuesday, and start drinking a bottle of wine at 7 o'clock every night? It's like, what is it about your lifestyle that you like? What is it that you don't like? And aligning what you want, once you align what you want out of your lifestyle with where it should be, so that you can, you know, provide for people and keep yourself safe and all the things that we have to do, what would that look like? I think we can be a director of our lifestyle in a much more powerful way.
Your book, what I love about your books, especially your latest one, which is, the full title is
Louise Parker, the six week program.
I had, you know, looking at recipes, you know, there's things like some oat cakes, you know, there's things like, you know, some wholemeal pitta. Because do you, you know, women that have got busy lives, you know, I know you talked earlier on about these very high flyers, you know, I've always got the argument, there are high flyers, but they've got a much bigger income, so they can get the house cleaned, they can get their trainer, they can get their this, they can get their that. But for a lot of people that really don't have a lot of disposable cash, Do you really believe your book is making that difference? So they don't need to go to Harrods and have the expensive side of the program. They can get your book and they can turn. Are you getting people saying, I've turned my life around from the method by doing it myself?
Yeah.
And that's what's great. I think that to me is what's so powerful.
We did from the first book, Louise Parker Method Lean for Life, which will be, I think, nearly 4 years in May. Mm. I mean, there's a real community of women on Instagram. They meet up, they have meetups. There's a real community. It's extraordinary.
And that support group, that's what's absolutely key, isn't it? And I noticed that from what you've done, is in really encourage, even with your latest book, to get your buddies, get your tribe. Because if you're meeting someone and you're just going to ring your front doorbell at 6 p.m. to go for a little jog together or go and do, you're going to do it because you don't want to let them down. Yeah, so you think that's an important part, is to get some supporters around you.
Yeah, it's having some good support around you as you get started, but also not relying on other people for support. So, because ultimately you've got to keep it going.
Yes.
So that sort of, that help with motivation, I think, has always got to be a bit of a temporary swell, because motivation always, you know, it peaks and ebbs and flows. And just coming back to habits, you've got to start laying down habits for yourself. So just as you repeat it and repeat it, you'll get to a point where you won't need to rely on your friend to do that thing with you or whatever it is. And naturally I think people start aligning themselves in slightly different companies. So they'll still hang out with their really good friend, Tina, that always takes her bra off on Friday nights.
Do you have a Tina in your life?
Yeah, we all have a Tina. Or maybe I'm the Tina in everyone else's life. They'll see her once a month and maybe, you know, go out with somebody else more, or, you know, they just change their lifestyle a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's terribly important. I mean, one of the very little things that we do is we'll just sit down and we'll break down the morning and the evening. So everybody has a morning routine and evening routine into 15-minute slots, and it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But why shouldn't we look at our, you know, we have everything analysed. Everyone wants to have their blood analysed. I'm like, why? Let's analyse what you do before you open your front door in the morning. Let's analyse what you do when you shut your front door in the morning. Why do you want your bloods analysed?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, let's look at your routine.
In this wellness world out there now, there's a lot of that. And you know what? There's a lot of people making money.
There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money in it.
So that's what's great. And, you know, just wanted to touch on a little bit about, you know, when we're in the hammam being scrubbed and cleaned, you know, there is this clean movement at the moment, isn't there? Whether it's, you know, cleansing treatments, detox. I mean, detox is a whole other subject, I know you're not mad keen on it, but, you know, clean eating. Why do you think that's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Especially, you know, you've got daughters, I've got an 11-year-old. We're not dirty people that need to be cleaned up, are we? So why have we got this mindset now?
You know, and now we're sort of, we've used too many antibiotics, and we're all using too much sanitizing hand gel.
It's
all just gone a bit bonkers, hasn't it? I mean, the whole clean eating thing is scary, but I think there's enough people sort of shining the light on it. I think orthorexia is going to be a growing thing. We're seeing a bit of it at work and always have done. So, you know, if an orthorexia wants to try something that they haven't heard about, they're going to come and do it.
Yes.
So we will tend to see an orthorexic and be able to realise when somebody's not suitable for
maybe
treatment
it's a bit
either.
Of, yeah. Bit of dysfunction going on around that. And so, I was pleased to see some pita breads.
Yes.
Because I don't have a dehydrator.
Oh yeah, there's all no.
I don't make my
that.
Own
no,
bread
it's got to be
I'm
normal. It's got to be doable that normal people can do and shop for. And the minute you go, or it's my opinion, but. I mean, there's no way you'd open my fridge or, you know, turn the keyhole and go to my kitchen and open it and go, oh, this must be the home of, I don't know, somebody who's really into healthy eating and fitness.
No, but
I mean,
you wouldn't be on this podcast if you were like that, Louise.
Okay,
I did my
cool.
research, obviously,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Because there's got to be balance. And, you know, you know, to be able to go out and have a glass of wine with you, which we must do sometime, would be lovely. And look, I respect people that don't want to do that as well. But I do, you know, rosé in the sun, that's not something I'm ever going to forego.
You have done your research,
haven't
you?
Yeah. I've asked around, you know. And it's this balanced, normal approach. But obviously with all this really great evidence as well, based, which is also really important. But, I mean, my last thing I'd love to know from you is, so how do you relax? Is it the glass of wine on the sofa? Is it a book in the bath? What's your real favourite way to really switch off and relax?
I will sit on the sofa under a blanket, cup of tea, it'll be a bath, an interiors magazine, anything to do with design or photography, or I'll watch Call the Midwife, or have a bath, read the papers, all very ordinary things.
Yes, yeah.
I really relax.
Simple.
Just going for a walk, walking home, walking over the bridge. But yeah, I can't really, I relax every evening, to be honest, I really do. But I can't start that until I've had a bath and got into my snugglies at home. So I'm just changing into my snugglies. And the minute I get home, I always take my coat off. I go and take my work clothes off instantly, I always have done.
Yeah.
So I go in, I wash my hands, speaking of over-cleansing.
Yeah, well, that's just washing off the day.
Yeah, I do
always
do that.
Leaving the outdoor world outside.
Yeah. I tie my hair up, I take my clothes off, I put on tracky bums and a tracky sort of type top.
I love it.
Then
so it's the ordinary things. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining. We're still friends because you did get some water thrown at you.
Yeah,
you did
no,
get angry.
Absolutely.
So
it was
a fantastic
you a little morning. Bit. Yeah, you have. I'm
good.
Converted.
Good. Well,
yeah, I don't
so
know if I'll
lovely.
Have one again or just want to remember my inaugural hammam session with you. It's been fantastic.
Good old gossip. We're all scrubbed within an inch of our lives.
Yeah,
and
I feel very good. Do you?
I feel great. Yeah.
Feel very good.
My skin feels like a baby's skin. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your
thank
time.
You,
so
you thank you, Suzanne. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing some of those secrets. I'll certainly be copying some of them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Bathe podcast. You can always jump onto the website lovetobathe.co.uk, where you'll find lots of other tips and tricks and other bathing recipes and therapies. Thank you very much to the Four Seasons Spa 10 at Trinity in London, and to my publishers Bonnier Books, and of course to my producer Lisa Mannering.